it to him this morning.
Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His presence.
Oh, yes,
Lord. Oh, I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory. The Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His, yes, Lord, grace. Thank you. Oh, I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord Jesus, Lord, we feel Your presence, Lord. Lord, we're not coming here, Lord, just to have a service and to get together, Lord, but we're come to invite You among us, Lord Jesus. Lord, just anoint us, Lord, and just to receive, to hear Your word, Lord, to worship You. Lord, just be with us. We thank You for Your love and grace, Your presence, Lord. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Page 319, if you don't know it.
Oh, the blood that Jesus shed for me. Oh, way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from there.
From there.
its power. Oh, for it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, yes, it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me
got a testimony this morning from my sister, Cindy Lilly. She went to the orthopedic surgeon on Tuesday after looking at my x-rays. He said that I have a bone spur beside my kneecap that I've irritated by climbing up and down the stairs too much. I won't need a knee replacement, thank the Lord, but no kneeling, squatting, or minimal stair climbing for right now. He gave me a pain-for pill as needed and said that cortisone injection has really seemed to help, and that he could give me a cortisone shot every 4 months if needed. Thankful for the great news and for everyone's prayers. Thanks so much. God bless. Appreciate that. The prayer request for Brother Joshua Johnson's uncle passed away Wednesday night. I believe he had cancer. Please remember their family in prayer during this time. I believe Brother Joshua is still away on the trip there. And please remember Sister Patty Hansel for Traveling Mercies. Brother Trevor's preaching in Lexington this morning. Brother Nathan, remember him. He's Brother Jack Stuff's church in Florida. And Brother Furman as well. He's away on vacation right now, so remember them in prayer. We have a prayer request from Letitia, I believe is Sister Dabney's granddaughter. And a prayer request for Sister Layton not feeling well. And Brother Sam, I believe it's Brother Sam Ventura, has final tests on Tuesday, needs the Lord's blessing. And Brother Jeffeth has put in a request for Brother Jack Singh. He has an inoperable brain tumor. He has 3 to 6 months to live. But we believe God can change that. Amen. Thankful that God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can answer every request we have. Amen. Brother, would you come? Jim, would you come and pray with these?
Bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, so grateful to be back among our precious friends, Lord. Lord, as Patty and I walked along the ocean, Lord, I thought, how deep is your love? Thinking about how these requests were made here this morning, Lord, how you love, Lord, to just hear us bring them before you, Lord. And Lord, even more so, you love to just take them into your hand and deliver us from them, Lord. So, Father, all these requests, the traveling mercies, the inoperable, Lord, that's nothing to you. So, Father, we ask you just to grant these requests. Father, we ask you just to be with the people today. Open our hearts up to receive what you would have us to have. And, Father, we're just so grateful for your presence, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to anoint us with your love. And we just ask it in Jesus' precious name.
Good morning, church. I'm going to be reading out of the 68th, that's 6-8, 68th chapter of the book of Psalm. I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and the Lord willing, we'll do some more next Sunday and the Sunday after. It's going to be a nice, beautiful, sunshiny day for a while, so I trust that the Son of God will be shining in here with us this morning. Verses 1 through 11, reading 11 altogether. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Amen. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary.
Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared thy goodness for the Lord.
The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. God bless you, saints. Please be seated.
Good to have our visitors with us this morning. Sister Esther Smallwood, is she here? She had a brother, Joe Canada's sister. Is she here this morning? Sing this chorus. His sister Courtney and Amelia, the one to receive the Holy Ghost in the meetings. Amen. We're going to hear her sing for us again this morning. So,
oh, greater is He that is in me. Oh,
I look back over my shoulder, I can get a laugh you saved me from. Thank God.
Sorry, sister. I didn't know who you were, and I didn't thought you were playing for her. So appreciate it. Good to have Brother Cannon's sister with us. God bless you all. I meant to call Sister Esther first, and but Lord just worked it out. I knew what Sister Amelia was going to sing, and the chorus I had next was "God is so good." So, amen. I believe He had that going together for us. He is good to us, isn't He?
Oh God, He is so good.
As the brothers come for the offering,
oh God. He
Aren't you thankful for that? I know some of you are sitting there and you can't figure out what's going on because he didn't have you stand. But it's okay because I asked him to do that. Musicians, if I'm done, I have Zion. He's going to play a song for me. But you all can take your seats. Praise the Lord. Good to be in church this morning, isn't it? I know some of you came expecting Brother Nathan to preach. Some of you came expecting a tape to be played. Probably none of you came expecting me to preach. But I'm not going to. We're going to let the Holy Spirit preach. Because if he doesn't preach, if he doesn't show up, which I know he already has because I could feel his presence downstairs, then we might as well dismiss and go home now. Y'all, pray for me. Worship the Lord as I sing this song. It's a song that I've enjoyed for years and years. It's kind of tough to live this song sometimes. You'll understand whenever I get to singing it. But it's the truth, and the devil hates it. I've stood on the banks of a wide, raging river, trusting that I'd get across. And I've made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost. Oh, and I've stood at the foot of what looked like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb. 'Cause in every trial, each test and temptation, one thing's been true every time. Oh, and that's over and over again and again. God is faithful. Over and over again and again through it all, he's made me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I all. Oh, but Jesus is with me. I'm claiming victory over and over again. Well, you may ask me why. I have no hesitation. God will do what he says he will do. I'd simply say each battle has taught me there's nothing that he won't. On the hardships and the struggles, 'cause when I look just beyond them, I see the way this all ends is the great wedding supper. And deep in my heart, I believe, oh, that over and over again and again, God is faithful. Over and over again and again. Amen. If God is on our side, whom do we have to fear, Brother Jimmy? Well, praise the Lord. You can stand now, please. If you'll turn in your Bibles, we'll read one scripture this morning to begin with. In 1 John, the 4th chapter. First John 4, and we'll read the 4th verse. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We realize, Lord, our insufficiency, our unworthiness, our lack of ability, Lord. So we just turn this over to you, and we just ask that you would come and take over. Take our lips, take our tongue, take our hands, our feet, take our entire being, Lord, and use it for your glory, for your praise, for your benefit. Speak to your people this morning. Lord, may we go from this place knowing that Jesus Christ has spoke to us and not just some man. but the Lord Himself has been here and visited with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, just before we close that prayer, we want to ask that you would touch our pastor this morning standing in the pulpit in Florida, Lord. May you make him a flame of fire before the people and our brother Trevor, Lord, over in Lexington. Lord, may you just use them, Lord. Heavenly Father, just speak through them. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Azariah, if you'll come, please. All right, you can just have a seat for a minute. You have to forgive me, this is my first time preaching with slides. I'm not Brother Nathan, I'm not Brother Trevor, I'm just Brother David. But I just want to take a thought for the next few moments on greater than. And I'm going to take you through a little bit of my life, through my schooling. I know a lot of you all are sitting here today and you're glad that school is over for the year and you thought that lessons were done, but we're going to have one more lesson this morning. All right? I'm going to show you some things that my teachers taught me, and then we're going to find a spiritual application for them. So the first thing, when I was in first grade, Mrs. O'Brien taught me this equation right here. She taught me that 2 plus 2, don't anyone give the answer yet, 2 plus 2 equals, that's what she put in front of me. And she drilled it in me, and she drilled it in me, and she drilled it in me, that no matter where I went, no matter what I ever accomplished in life, that 2 plus 2 would always come out to the same answer no matter what. So we're going to prove that this morning. Azariah, if you'll go over by where Brother Jerry's at. Brother Jerry was raised in Liberty, Kentucky. He's from Liberty. Now, Brother Jerry, in Liberty, Kentucky, 2 plus 2 equals?
4.
4. All right, Brother Norbert. Brother Norbert's from Burkina Faso. I think I'm saying that right. Brother Norbert and Burkina Faso, what does 2 plus 2 equal?
Equal 4.
4. All right. Sister Faith, neighbor. I would ask you to come in here, but I'm not going to do that to you. Sister Faith is from Canada. And surely Canada would have a different answer than the rest of us. But Sister Faith, what does 2 plus 2 equal in Canada?
4.
4. 4. I could barely hear you, sister. All right. Let's see. Who else do we have? I don't know if he's in here, Azariah. So we'll have to move on. Brother Castell from Cluj-Napoca, Romania. He's right over here. Nope, back this way. Raise your hand, Brother Castell. In Romania, Brother Castell, what does 2 plus 2 equal?
That's 4.
4. All right. And let's see, who else? I spied her earlier. Sister Vera, right here. Sister Vera's from Germany. And Sister Vera in Germany, what's 2 plus 2 equal?
4.
4. All right. And I think we have one more. Yes, Sister Christy.
And West
Virginia. Now, surely... In West Virginia, it's probably different.
Sister Julie is also from West Virginia. But the answer is 4.
2 plus 2 in West Virginia is?
4.
4. All right. So, we just did something very simple. Thank you, brother. We just did something very simple. But is there anyone in this building that would disagree with 2 plus 2 equals 4? See how simple it is to get in one mind and one accord?
Amen.
2 plus 2 equals 4, Brother Jimmy. Now, Ms. O'Brien, she used to give us, I don't know how they teach it anymore, but she used to go down the row, and she would do things like this. She would say, one plus one, 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 two plus two. All right. And she would do that on multiplication, on addition, on subtraction. She would do that over and over and over again until we had it. And she would switch it up on us. But no matter how much you switch it up, oh, I forgot one person, Sister Julie. They tell me that you are the math whiz, that you can teach math better than anybody can teach math. Is there a situation, I'm not going to put a mic in front of you, is there a situation that you know of in all the times that you've taught math that you can make 2 plus 2 not equal 4? No. She's shaking her head no. So no matter where you're at, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter what the devil is telling you, 2 plus 2 will always equal 4. Everybody's in agreement. It is hot up here. Well, I just have one thing to say to you. That'll help a little bit. I just have one thing to say to you. Do you realize that we're everyone in agreement that 2 plus 2 equals 4? Yes. And not one person in this building can stand and give me scripture to back that up? So if we can be in universal agreement in one mind and one accord on something that's not even scripture. Now don't go way off on tangents with me on that. I'm just showing you something, okay? 2 plus 2 equals 4. We're all in agreement. We absolutely believe it. I could come to you right now and I could try to convince you that 2 plus 2 does not equal 4. And you would argue with me and you would probably win the argument. And yet you don't have one scripture that backs that up. The only thing that you remotely have is that Brother Branham said when the angel of the Lord was coming, whenever he could hear that whirlwind coming, he said it would start out, I don't have any other way to describe it to you, he says, except it would sound like this, 2 plus 2 equals 4, 2 plus 2 equals 4, 2 plus 2 equals 4, 2 plus 2, and it would keep getting faster and louder when that angel was coming. Now, I don't know if he actually heard 2 plus 2 equals 4, but that's the way he described it to you. All right, but I'll tell you what we do have. We do have a prophet with a seventh grade education that went around the world with one scripture. And you know, there's people that still want to debate this. After 1,100 or almost 1,200 sermons, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, and you know that you probably had a problem sometime this week with the devil trying to convince you that that's not the truth. But that's more true than 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's more true than Ms. O'Brien was in first grade at Glendale at East Hardin Elementary. That's more true than anything else that they taught me all my time through school in any mathematics. And we're going to get into some of that in just a moment. But that right there is more true than anything that you can ever read or hear. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. That's as basic as it gets. The prophet didn't come to you. He didn't start out. God didn't send him out on the field with the seals. He didn't start him out on the field with the church age book. He didn't even start him out on the field with serpent seed. He started him with one thing. And a little man, about 5'4", no formal education past elementary school, walked out on a platform one day. Now, I just want you to grasp this, because there's a spiritual strength in it if we'll recognize it. He walked out armed with one scripture, preached the gospel, and then stood there and asked, any person that was sick, any person that was tormented with the devil, anybody that needed prayer, he asked him to come and see if God wouldn't back that one scripture up right there. Brother Jorgensen, in the Supernatural series books that he wrote about how Brother Branham had to learn how to let God use him in those situations. I know he came out of his mother's womb. He was a prophet, Brother Layton, the moment he was born. I understand that. But he had a gift. And that gift had to be exercised. And that gift, he had to fit that robe. He had to grow into that role that he had as God's prophet to this age. And he didn't do it from day one. But he learned it. But God started him out with one basic scripture and took it from there. And look what it has done worldwide. One man against every denomination. One man against the Catholic Church. One man against the Church of Christ. One man in front of thousands of people. And he could, based on one scripture, he could boldly stand there and say, let's see if he'll prove himself true tonight. Let's see if he'll prove that I've preached his word tonight. So, then later on, my teacher introduced me to something called quotient. 10 to the power of, or any number to the power of. I'll just put 10 up here. 10 to the power of 10. You say, what's that got to do with anything? Hold on. We're just going through math here a little bit, okay? 10 to the power of 10 means 10 times 10 times 10 times 10, 10 times. Everybody in agreement on that? Whew. All right. I'm watching Sister Julie. I've heard what it's like for her to teach math. So, 10 to the power of 10 simply means 10 times itself 10 times. And as human beings, I just experienced this the other day. My wife has been after me. I need to take vitamins. So I started taking vitamins. And on the bottle it says one a day. Well, anybody knows that if one is good, two is better. That's what we try to do. We think, okay, this is good. I'll make it better. I'll take two of them. You don't need to take two of them. All right? And a lot of times, we think that if we could just have God to the power of 10, wouldn't that be awesome? But I have a secret for you. God does not need to be multiplied. There's no scripture. I've looked it up. There's no quote. I've looked that up. God never asked to be multiplied. He told us to multiply. But he never said that he needed to be multiplied. He said he needed to be magnified. So how's he magnified? He's magnified in yours and my life. All right? Because Laodicea is not going to come walking through those doors probably. Satan's Eden's not going to come in here and sit down and say, preach to me, preacher. But Satan's Eden and Laodicea is going to see Jesus Christ in your life, in my life. Amen. That's our purpose. So God doesn't need to be multiplied. He's God, and he's God alone. And one of the things that they taught me was, if it's to the first power, David, you don't have to bother writing that little one up there. You just write one. So today, G, capital G, stands for God. He's not God to the second power. He's not God to the 10th power. And he's certainly not God, as some denominations want to give us. He's not God to the third power. Okay? He's God. And he's God alone. And he's enough. He's enough. Turn with me in your Bible to Psalms, the 34th chapter. And we'll see what David, whenever he was under the anointing, said one day. Psalms, the 34th chapter. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul hath made her shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Let me just stop right there for a moment and let you and explain this to you. David was talking about God to the first power. He was talking about Jehovah. He was talking about the creator of heavens and earth. And David says, let's magnify him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. David didn't have to go to God to the 10th power. He didn't have to go to God to the 3rd power. He just went to God and God alone. And God heard him. When David sought after him, God heard him. And David said, he delivered me from all my fears. Now don't forget what we started out with. 2 + 2 = 4. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. If David can say, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I don't understand it, Brother Layton. I really don't. My little old Kentucky educated mind can't comprehend it, but I do believe it, and I've proven it. And God's still wanting to prove it this morning to someone that just as much as 2 + 2 = 4, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If David sought him and he heard David and he rescued David out of all of his fears. You know what that means, Brother Jimmy? When Jimmy seeks him, when Jimmy seeks the Lord hears him. And the Lord will deliver him out of all of his fears. It goes for Elijah. I'm sorry. What's your name? Levi. It goes for Levi. I'm sorry. Huh? Jared. It goes for Jared. It goes for Isaiah, right? Azariah. It goes for Caleb. It goes for each and every one of you sitting here. 2 + 2 = 4. You say, Brother Hoover, this is so basic. I understand. But the devil comes to us and tells us, it doesn't apply to my situation. It doesn't apply to your disease. It doesn't apply to your fear. It doesn't apply to your doubt. It doesn't apply to your circumstance. But Jesus Christ sent us a prophet and proved to us time and time again, just as 2 + 2 = 4, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You don't have to come up with a new formula this morning. You don't have to come up with some new idea. You don't have to struggle and strain and strive. The only thing you have to strain and struggle about is to get this guy right here out of the way. But if you can get you out of the way and you can have a meeting one-on-one with God and you can seek him, he'll come on the scene just like he promised David. Let's read on and see what else he did for David. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen. The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. Oh, Brother Hoover, you better be careful. The angel of the Lord, that was just for Brother Branham and his ministry. That's a lie from the pits of hell. No one said you were going to reveal the seals because it's already been done. No one said you were going to go into the church ages. It's already been done. No one said you were going to fulfill the office of Malachi 4:5. It's done. But there is an angel of the Lord that will walk with you and talk with you the same as he did the prophet. Because David says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. How many righteous do we have in our assembly this morning? Well, what are the rest of you sitting there in? I didn't say how many of you are self-righteous. I said how many of you are righteous this morning. Amen. Well, that's a little bit better. We got about 75%. Brother Nathan, pray for me. Look, folks, we're not standing here under our righteousness this morning. There's not a one of us worthy to walk into a church and ask to come into the presence of Almighty God. Not a one of us. Not even the prophet was worthy. The Apostle Paul wasn't worthy. Abraham wasn't worthy. We're not worthy in anything that we've done, anything we could do. But there is one this morning that whenever we accepted his shed blood one day and bowed down and asked forgiveness for our sins, and maybe it was this morning that you had to do that. Paul the Apostle had to do it quite often. He said, I die daily. Right. Have you died this morning? Have you died to David Hoover's ideas, David Hoover's wants, David Hoover's wishes? Have you actually died out this morning to those things that are troubling you and trying to keep you from the victory that Jesus Christ bought and paid for? Lay down your righteousness and stand before God under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Brother Jimmy, he promised that he would robe me in his righteousness. And when he puts his robe of righteousness on me, then I have right to come and stand before his throne and lift up my hands and say, God be praised. God, I love you. God, I'm not worthy. Lord, I don't know why you chose me. You can have those thoughts, but don't take those thoughts upon yourself, upon your flesh, because it's not your flesh that brought you into this presence. It's not your flesh that will ever redeem you. It's not your flesh that will ever make you worthy. But it's only the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when he slips that robe of righteousness on you, amen, he has to put his robe of righteousness on you. Otherwise, he can't even look at you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Glory to his name. We haven't even got to the good part yet. And I'm having a time. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Amen. Folks, do you understand what David's doing here in the 34th Psalm? He's having a Pentecostal jubilee. He's thinking back to all the times in his life when he wasn't worthy, Brother Anthony, when he messed up. When the devil whispered in his ear and said, that's it. That's the last strike. You're out. God's never going to forgive that. God's never going to overlook that. You'll never be free of that. And David remembers, I sought the Lord with tears, with repentance. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And I imagine by the time that David got to the part about, and he heard me, before he could write down the words, and delivered me out of all my troubles, Brother Jimmy, he probably just had to stop and put his quill down and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You brought me through that, and you brought me through that, and you brought me through that, and you brought me through that. You're going to bring me through this, Lord. I believe it. You brought me through so many times, so many ways, so many things I couldn't understand. I couldn't figure out the way out. I was in the deepest, darkest part of the valley, and I couldn't see the light of day. But God, you brought light down and shone it upon my pathway. And you led me out. Yes. You've never left me in my troubles. Amen. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Anybody here got afflictions this morning? Yes. You can be honest. I'm not going to preach at you. Any of you ever been through an affliction? Any of you ever been through a valley or a battle or a fight? All right. Now, they taught me one thing in sales. I think I've shared it with you before, but it's worth sharing again. As a salesperson, never use the word but. It doesn't work. Somebody asks you, is that the best deal that you can give me? Yes, but you just canceled out what you just said. I'll prove it to you. Go home today. You brothers, I'm not going to say this to the sisters. You brothers, go home today and you look at your wife and you say, honey, you look great in that outfit, but you might as not have well said the very first part because she's not listening to another word that you're saying. David says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but this is one time that is good. I told the folks one time when I was preaching, I said, I can tell who's sheep and who's goats. Goats butt, sheep don't. You go to testify to somebody and they go, but let me tell you about this. No. All right. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them, none of them that trust in him. How many of you is trusting in the Lord? Amen. Now, come on, folks, we ought to have 100% on that.
Amen.
If you can't sit in the house of God and raise your hand that you're trusting the Lord, well, preach. All right. And none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
Amen.
All right. Let's go on with the math class. So, one day I walked into class and this was up on the board. And for you young ones, I've already been warned. No, this is not a blinking emoji. I never even knew what a blinking emoji was until I asked someone to put this on a slide. And they looked at me and said, you know, everybody that's like 20 and under is going to say, oh, blinking emoji. No. What this is greater than, less than. I walked into class one day and the teacher had that up on the board. Okay? No, I didn't say blinking emoji. I didn't even know there was such a thing as an emoji because there wasn't one then, Brother Lee. All right, so I walked in, and this is up on the board, and the teacher's introducing a new concept, because up until this time, I'd always been taught that when you had an equal sign, Brother Jimmy, whatever was on this side of the equal sign had to equal what was on this side of the equal sign. That's what equals means. This side of the equation balances with this side of the equation. But the teacher explained to me, there's sometimes that that's just not true. Now, be careful. Don't let the devil trip you up on that. There's sometimes it's just not true. Now, Jesus Christ equals the same yesterday, today, and forever. That will never change. All right? But if you have 10 and you have 7, 10 is not equal with 7, so you can't use an equal sign. So you have greater than and less than. So, the next thing that we have to ask is, we have God to the power of one. All right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and him only shalt thou serve. So let me ask you a question. What can you put, that's a question mark for those of you that don't understand it. That's a question mark. What can you possibly put over on this side of the equation that's going to outbalance or outperform what's on this side of the equation? I'll just give you, take that biggest mountain that's in front of you right now. Take that hardest trial you've ever been through in your life. Some of you is in it right now. Whatever it is. Well, Brother Hoover, my family's pretty important to me. I understand that. Is your family greater than God? Well, I'm trying to buy this house, and this house is really important to me. Is it greater than God? Well, you know, there's this car that I've always, you know, I'm getting ready to get my license, and I got my eye on this car, and I'm really working on Mom and Dad to help. Is that car greater than God? Well, I got the ability to be on this team, Brother Hoover. Only select people get to be put on the team, and I've worked really, really hard to be on that team. Is that team greater than God? Brother Hoover, there's this job, and this job will pay me more than anybody in this church is making. I don't know if that's possible, but I got this job, and I really, really want it. Is that greater than God? Let's go to the reverse side of it. Instead of all the good things that we could put over there on the question mark, Brother Hoover, they just told me that I've got cancer. Is that greater than God? Brother Hoover, you don't understand. I've been fighting this diabetes all my life. Is that greater than God? It's not, is it, Brother Layton? Living proof. Living proof, sister. Living proof, Sister Jennifer. I don't care what the devil comes and says. I don't care what the devil puts on the meter. I don't care what the devil puts anywhere, on a chart in a doctor's office, anywhere. It's not greater. Brother Hoover, I just can't get out of this valley. I just cannot get over what someone did to me, what someone said about me, what someone thought about me, what someone put on Facebook, what someone put on email or whatever. It's not greater than God, folks. I'm telling you, it's not greater than God. Brother Hoover, my children. You want to talk about your children? Let's talk. Brother Hoover, my spouse. She just don't see this message. He just don't believe this message. Whatever the case is. Brother Hoover, you don't understand. When I was young, I did some things. I regret them. I've asked God to forgive me. But I still remember them. I can't forget them. Is it greater than God? No, it's not. Amen. Quit letting that devil lie to you and beat you around and worry you and fret you and cost you your victory because of something that he knows about, but Jesus Christ doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. We fail to understand that concept because the devil uses it against us so much that just, listen, the devil would make a fantastic politician. Because politicians have learned that if you tell somebody the lie long enough, sooner or later, they'll believe that you're telling the truth, even though there's nothing to back it up. And so the devil comes to you and continually tells you about something that happened when you were 16 years old. I remember this. I remember you was there. And you know who else? I remember this guy was there and that girl was there. And this was... And he'll just beat you up and beat you up and beat you up and beat you up and beat you up. But you know what really happens? I'll show it to you in just a second, but I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. You know what happens? The devil, Brother Jimmy, every single day, the devil has to get up before you get up. And he has to go to the throne room. Heaven's throne room. He has to go before God to the power of one. And he understands that God is in charge. And everything else is less than God. The devil understands it. But he's never going to tell you about it. Because his job is to get you to believe his lie and go to hell with him. But he goes into the throne room of God. And here's how the conversation goes. He walks up before the throne and he says to God, God, I got an assignment today I'd like to do. Because he has to ask permission. He doesn't just come to your house and attack you without any ability or without permission. He has to ask God, can he do it? And so he goes before God and he says, hey, this David Hoover guy, I think I can get him to deny you and go back on his salvation. Because yesterday, I saw him make this mistake. I saw him say this, and it wasn't true. And so he's there before God, accusing you before the Father. But what the devil doesn't know is when you got down on your knees last night, Brother Buckles, at the side of the bed, and you said, Lord, I said something to that man today, and I oughtn't to have done that. I ask your shed blood to cover me once again. Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like you.
Amen.
And at that instant, that very instant, Brother Branham said they could be standing over here in the prayer line and bow their head and ask forgiveness. And when they got in front of him, the angel of the Lord couldn't reveal it to him because it was no longer on the record. And so here's Satan standing in the presence of Almighty God saying, hey, that David Hoover guy, I think I can do it. And the Father says, go ahead. I know what he's made of. I knew what he was made of before I ever formed him in his mother's womb. Before there was ever a sun, a moon, or a stars. I wrote it. I'm so confident in what David Hoover's going to do in Satan's Eden in Laodicea. Put your name in there instead of David Hoover. I'm so confident of how Arnie Bird is going to handle the situation. I wrote his name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the earth. In fact, devil, take 10 other demons with you and go attack Arnie Bird and see what happens. And so they come against Brother Arnie. And Brother Arnie's like, Lord, I love you, but I don't understand this. Maybe when he was younger, he would have said, oh, Lord, what did I do to deserve this? What have I done to displease you? But now that he's older and he's mature and he's been through some classes and some more teaching by the Holy Spirit, he understands it has not one thing to do with whether there's sin in his life or not. It's just God proven to the devil and proven to Laodicea. What I thought about Arnie at the first is still true in 2019, and it'll be true as long as the Lord tarries, and it'll be true all through eternity. Stack anything you want over here, folks. Stack it. Put Bill Gates' money over here. Put former President Obama's fame. Put Hollywood. Put the NBA. Put anything you want to over there. It'll never equal what's on this side. This will always come up short of this. You know why? Because 2 + 2 = 4. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's not going to change, folks. Oh, I know. I've heard him too. Daniel Cooley, your situation is unlike any other situation that's ever existed in all of time. Think about it. What a lie. Not one scripture to back up that statement that I just made. But there is a scripture that says that God, in flesh and blood, Jesus Christ, was tempted, was tried, Brother Jimmy, in every fashion that we can be tried. So, the only logical conclusion that you can have is that God is greater than everything else. Amen. Now, I have to admit to you, I'm not proud of this fact. You can call me slow if you want to. But for a long time, in fact, Sister Rebecca, It wasn't until I was teaching my kids, helping teach my kids in homeschool their mathematics, that I figured out this greater than, less than thing. Ms. Mossbarger used to put sheets of paper in front of me, and it would have a column and a column, and in between each of those, I was supposed to put the greater than or less than sign, and I would 100% of the time get it backwards. She explained the alligator math to me, or alligator mouth to me. That didn't stick. Okay? Because in my mind, whichever way the arrow was pointing, that was the greater. And she worked with me and worked with me and worked with me. I finally got it to where I could pass and, you know, get out of the class and move on. But I still struggled with it. So one day I'm sitting at the house, and I'm teaching this to one of my boys in their math book, and all of a sudden it just clicked for me, Brother Jimmy. And we had to stop and have service in the middle of doing math, because it finally dawned on me, and I'm going to have to put this mic down, or put it back on this holder here. All right, so here's how I figured it out, or this is just how it came to me. We're going to say outside that window is the world. Okay? Well, actually, let's do it this way. Outside this window is the world. And back on that wall, there's a cross. And that cross represents Jesus Christ. Now, here's how I finally figured it out. And I love this. And you're going to say, duh, I can't help it. If you take that greater than or that less than sign, whatever you open yourself up to and you give adoration to, when you do this right here, that's what you're telling is the greater. So if in your life you're pointing this way,
oh my,
Jesus. Come on, brother.
You're telling God, whatever's outside that window, that's what's important to me. That's what I'm going to raise my hands to. That's what I'm going to honor. That's what I'm going to give obeisance to. But as Brother Nathan's been preaching about yield, and as Brother Trevor's been bringing from the Church Age book, your one and only relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. If you'll just open up and worship that one that died on that cross, that one who is the only one that can, there's nothing out there that can forgive your sins, folks. People can tell you that they forgive you. It's not always true, but when he says, I forgive, he not only forgives, he forgets. Why wouldn't you want to worship a God like that? Why wouldn't you want to open up your arms and say, God, you're greater. You're greater than. You're greater than what my kids are doing right now, Lord. You're greater than what my bank account looks like, Lord. You're greater than what the doctor said the other day at the doctor's office, Lord. You're greater than that mistake I made yesterday, Lord, and had to ask you to forgive me. You're greater than all of that. He's greater than everything. Amen. I said I got ahead of myself a little bit. I just want to show you something. You may never have seen it like this, but for those of you that are listening and aren't here, there's a screen up with a bunch of ink blots on it. Stains. Smudges. Some people call them mistakes. Some people call them sins. Some people call them uh-ohs. I don't know what your title is for it. But this is where Satan thinks he's got evidence. I look out at you this morning, and I realize that you're human beings just like me. And you make mistakes just like I make mistakes. You might have made mistakes yesterday just like I made mistakes. You might have made mistakes this week just like I make mistakes. You might have made mistakes this year just like Brother Branham made mistakes. The difference is between you and I and Brother Branham is he got up in the pulpit and put it on tape. You and I, we covered up. Nobody saw that. Just like you do whenever you fall. You know, the first thing you do is you don't check to see if anything's broken or hurt, Brother Jimmy. You look, did anybody see it? That's the way we are with our mistakes. Brother Branham wasn't like that. Brother Branham made a mistake and gets in the pulpit and says, I ran out of the house and told her to tell the tax man I wasn't there. And you know, the devil had a heyday with that. Can't you imagine that conversation? Brother Branham gets ready to go to sleep at night and the devil's right there. Hey, what did you tell your wife to say on the phone today? And they call you a prophet? A prophet of God would do something like that? Amen. You know what happened, folks, because he has that conversation with you and I on mistakes that we make. If there's anybody in here that he doesn't have that conversation, doesn't come to, please tell me what's going on in your life, because I want to be like that. But he comes and he goes, you lay your head on the pillow at night and he goes, you remember when you snapped at your wife today? She didn't do nothing to deserve that. And right then the devil's like, and you call yourself a Christian, a message believer. And I can roll right over and say, honey, I need you to forgive me. I oughtn't to have said what I said the way that I said it. Would you forgive me? And she forgives me. But you know what? I still got to fall asleep. And so for the next half hour or so, Brother Jimmy, it's me and the devil. Boom, boom, boom. Punch after punch after punch. That's what I see, and that's what the devil wants me to see. That's what you're looking at a lot of times, and that's what the devil wants to keep you looking at. But that's what God sees. I said, that's what God sees. Yeah, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that I did something. I'm ashamed that that's on my garment. The Bible says that there's going to be a bride without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. And yet the devil, he's putting the evidence right in front of me. Look at this. You did this. Your children said this. You had an opportunity to stop and help someone, and you drove right on by, Mr. Hoover. Whatever it is, he's the master at it. That's his official title, accuser of the brethren. And we get so upset, and so he comes and convinces us that although the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us. The Bible says 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't say it in those numbers, but it says it when it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that means to me? I'm just simple, folks. I'm simple enough to believe that if God would look at David when David got down on his knees, I'm talking about David in the Bible. David got down on his knees and he said, God, forgive me for taking Bathsheba as my wife. I shouldn't have done that. The devil is bugging David every day of his life going, look at that. You got her living in your house. You know you shouldn't have done that. How could you even go sit on the throne? How could you even call yourself a man of God? How could you? How could you? How could you? And the whole time, the devil goes into the throne room of God and says, hey, why is that king still sitting on the throne down there in Israel? We all know that he did such and such and such and such. And God goes, what are you talking about, Satan? What are you talking about, Satan? And Satan brings the evidence before him. Satan comes walking in and says, look, God. God says, no, that's not what my book shows. My book shows this right here. My book shows this. This is what the record shows. Satan goes, I got witnesses. You ever notice that? You could be the only guy on the highway, and as soon as you do something you know you shouldn't have done, there will be a witness. Somebody will blow the horn at you. Ah, Brother Hoover! Hello. Oh, boy. And he uses it against us, and he uses it against us. Brother Branham said, you're standing before him today. I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the quote right with me. Just bear with me. Brother Branham's talking to the bride, and he says, you stand before him today, the sinless, spotless bride of Jesus Christ. These are his exact words. You never did it in the first place. Now, you try to figure that out with your Kentucky mind or your South Dakota mind or your Burkina Faso mind or your Liberty, Kentucky mind or your Germany mind. You try to figure that out. It cannot compute in this brain right here. But according to the Word of God, according to this infallible book, that's the way it is, folks. That's what God sees. That's what God sees. You know why? You know why God can do that? Because of that right there. He's greater. Brother Anthony, he's greater than my mistakes. He's greater than any disease that the doctor wants to pronounce upon me. He's greater than any false doctrine I ever got tied up with. He's greater than any church that I was ever associated with that I don't want to admit that I was associated with them now. I'm just going to preach, folks. I'll say it. You all don't want to say it. I'll say it. He's greater than the Pentecostal David Hoover that you all never ever got to meet. He's greater than the rotten preacher's kid from Elizabethtown, Kentucky. He's proved it to me time and time again, Brother Jimmy. I hold it against me. My sisters hold it against me. Oh, they can't wait. Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, every time we have a get-together. Hey, you remember when David did such and such? Yes, I remember it, Brother Jerry. But I wish Joanna, Marlene, and Aletha would shut up about it. Obviously, some of you all have the same situation. You remember, you meet some old friend from school or some old friend from a past job or something. Hey, you remember when you did such and such, David? Yes, and I remember when you got lop-legged drunk and couldn't get home one night. You want to say that, but you can't. You should. Oh, thank God for that right there. Amen. Thank God. Now, what's the point of all this? How much time do I have left? Oh, my goodness. It is really 12:30. I'm going to hurry real quick. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews 5. Why you go through these things, Brother David? Why you get up and talk about these things? Because he told me to. Because he knows that as much as I struggle with it, some of you all struggle with it. He knows as perfect as our pastor is that he struggles with it. He knows as sinless as some of us want to make the prophet, he struggled with it. And so he wants us to understand that not a one of us is making it, not a one of us is going to get through without his shed blood. And just like Ms. O'Brien in first grade, started me out. She didn't start me out on greater than and less than, Brother Layton. I couldn't have handled it. Not in first grade. And she knew it. So she started me out on 2 plus 2. And then somebody else come along and did multiplication. And then somebody else come along and did greater than and less than. And then, oh my goodness, I got to high school. And we got into pre-algebra. Then I understood why a prophet of God said, how can I teach you algebra? You don't know your ABCs. I was lost. What do you mean A plus B equals C? And God knows that. And so they started me out in school, 2 plus 2. Then they built onto that. 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 And some of you are here spiritually. And some of you are here. And the guy up here has no right to look back at this guy down here and say, you don't know nothing. Huh. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Anybody knows that. Hebrews 13:8. Everybody knows that. There was a time you didn't know it. There was a time you struggled with it. You might still be struggling with it. You might be getting tired of walking into church and every Sunday, every Wednesday, Brother Nathan puts the same mathematical problem in front of you. And you go, I've already studied this. I've already. Yes, but you didn't pass, David. You didn't get it right this week, so you got to do the lesson again. So in Hebrews, this is a beautiful scripture. I lived 27 years of my life and didn't understand what this scripture was all about. And a man with a seventh grade education pulled it out of the Bible one day and put it in a church age book. I recommend you read the church age book if you haven't. Some of you get that. Trevor would have enjoyed that right there. All right. Hebrews 5th chapter, 8th verse. Speaking of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'll just back up to the 6th verse. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, we all know who that's talking about, right? Jesus Christ was Melchizedek. All right? Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. In the church age book, Brother Branham is talking about character, and he's teaching that Jesus Christ learned obedience. He learned to do only that he was shown to the Father by suffering. I'm just going to bring it down to your all's level and my level and say, he learned obedience in his flesh in the days on the shores of Galilee, the same way that he taught obedience whenever his prophet went up to Utica and got ahead of God and prayed when the hat wasn't in the right place. He learned obedience. He learned obedience by going to South Africa and listening to men and having to come back and suffer in America because he didn't follow the leading of the Lord. He followed what the men wanted him to do. If the prophet of God, if the seventh church age messenger had to learn obedience through suffering, and Jesus Christ, according to Paul's gospel, and he said, if anybody comes preaching something besides this, let him be accursed. According to Paul's gospel, Jesus Christ in the flesh on the shores of Galilee around Canaan, he learned obedience through his suffering. Then how are you just going to come in and be the whiz kid of the message? That's blunt, Brother Layton, but that's the truth. Amen. How are you going to come in and bypass? I've got a son right now in Washington. He would just die if he knew I was telling this. I tried every way in the world to get that boy to do his multiplication tables. Dad, that's just a bunch of waste of time. I know what 2 times 2 is. I know you know that, son, but what's 9 times 8? Hold on a minute. If you would just take your multiplication table and go to your room, turn the video game off, and just memorize that multiplication table, son, it's going to help you on down the road. And some of us, we wanted to skip the 2 + 2 = 4 of the message, and we wanted to go right into the deep revelations, into the algebra, into the I'll speak worlds into existence and go live on them. Let's just admit it, we did. I came to the Lord at 27 years of age. I'm 61 today. Oh, there's some things I'd like to tell 1985 David Hoover. There's some things I'd like to tell the 1990s David Hoover. But what is God doing? God brings you along, and as you're able to understand it, able to cope with it, He lets it. He's got to build you up to a rapture, folks. There are days. I'm just going to preach. I'm going to be transparent this morning, Brother Anthony. There are days I don't see how in the world He can rapture this guy right here. I'm just going to tell you. Okay? If you're honest, you'll say amen to that. Some of you under your breath. It's okay. You know you're not in a rapturing condition. And God keeps bringing you through and through and through. And you go, Lord, when am I going to get past this test? When am I going to get past this guy that works with me and aggravates me? When am I going to get past this wife that I don't understand why she wants to keep going over and over and over that same thing? Because you haven't passed the test, David Hoover. And you're going to keep getting that test because I'm trying to raise you up. Because one of these days, I'm going to speak and you're going to disappear out of this world. It's a test. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Amen. Now nobody's volunteering for a test. I doubt if there's any student in here that ever walked into the classroom and said, okay, Sister Julie, try me. Test me. I got it down. I know it. I know it's coming and going. I know it up and down, backwards and forwards. Just go ahead. Put the test on me. No, we don't do that. Not if we got any sense. But every one of us, we remember when we were at 2 + 2 = 4. And now we look at where God has brought us to. You know what we have to say? We have to say, God, thank you for that 2 + 2 = 4 trial. Thank you for that God to the power of one trial. Thank you for that greater than, less than trial. Because I know you're getting me ready for something. I know you're getting me ready for something, Lord. Musicians, you can come. Years ago, when I was just a young man, I probably wasn't over 14 years old. We went to a church convention in a little place called Oak Hill, West Virginia. And there was a German brother and sister DeWeese. They're the first people I ever know that sold everything they had, put it in a Winnebago, and started traveling for Jesus. They'd ask all the ministers. They'd get all 40, 50 ministers up on the pulpit, and they'd say, starting over here, stand up, tell your name, where you're from. Brother DeWeese would stand up. He'd say, my name is Brother DeWeese. I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Well, my mailing address is Ann Arbor, Michigan. But right now I'm living in Brother Lewis's driveway. Because that's where his Winnebago was parked. Wonderful, wonderful brother and sister. They asked Sister DeWeese, she had a beautiful voice. They asked her to get up and sing one morning. She walks over by the piano, takes the microphone, and she said, before I sing this song, I just want to say one thing. I was looking out the window of our camper this morning, and she said there was a little bird sitting out there on the fence post, and he was singing for all he was worth. She said, the Lord laid a song on my heart, and the name of the song was, He's All I Need, He's All I Need. And she said, I just looked out that camper at that little bird. And she said, I realized Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all I need. therefore I have no need. Do you understand that this morning? If you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, you don't have any need. Oh, Brother David, let me tell you about my need. Yes, but if you have Jesus like this in your life, if you can live here, I'm not telling you walk around Walmart with your arms up like this. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you can live your life like this, you don't have any need. When you're like this, what can cancer do? What can diabetes do? What can your children running from the Lord do? When you're living like this? My problem is, I listen to that lying devil so much, and he convinces me this is reality. That's not reality, folks. Yes, I know you made a mistake. I know you did something you shouldn't have done. But that's not reality. The shed blood of Jesus Christ says that's reality. Amen. You love him this morning? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you would just want to raise your hand to him. Not anybody looking around. Not to Brother David. Not to Brother Nathan. Not to the deacons. But you just want to raise your hand and say, Lord, change my focus. Lord, I've been looking at the ink blots. I've been looking at the lies of the devil. I've been listening to the falsehoods from hell. Lord, refocus me this morning. Lord, I've been whining and complaining about this test I'm going through, this trial that keeps coming at me. Lord, help me to realize it's time to buckle down and pass this test. And the only way I can do that, Lord, is through your shed blood. Lord, I'm never going to get good enough to come to the altar. I'm never going to get good enough to raise my hands in the assembly of the saints. I'm never going to get good enough to beat this disease. But Lord, by your shed blood, I'll overcome. Heavenly Father, you see the hands. Lord, as they go up all over the building. Oh, Lamb of God, I preached everything that you laid on my heart. I brought it out the best that I know how with my human ability. I tried my best to get out of the way. Lord, if there's something that I said that wasn't pleasing to you, would you just blot it out of their memory and let them hear your voice speaking to them? Lord, may they just make you greater in their life. May they make you greater than that problem, greater than that disease, greater than that sin, greater than that lie that Satan's telling on them. May they just concentrate on you, Lord. May they just surrender to you. Lord, I raise my hands. I raise my arms. Lord, you're greater. You're greater than my ability to preach. Or my inability to preach. You're greater than my ability to overcome, or my inability to overcome, God. Lord, everything I have, everything I ever will be, rest in you, Lord Jesus. And I just raised my hands. Some people call it surrender. Some people call it worship. Some people call it giving over. Lord, whatever you call it, I just want you to be greater in my life. I want you to be the greatest, Lord. And I believe this assembly of people want that again this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises that they're true and they're amen. We thank you that in you there's no shadow of turning. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Sing with me. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all Shall we stand?
He's all.
Continue to play that in that presence of the Holy Spirit that we feel here. Some of you may need to come to this altar. Some of you may need to just come here and stand. Some of you may be able to do it there at your pew. You may need to kneel. Whatever it is that you need to let Jesus know, I'm making you greater, Lord. Starting today, from this time forward, I'm making you greater than the lies of Satan. I'm making you greater than the doctor's diagnosis. I'm making you greater than what my children are doing. I'm making you greater than what my family's doing. I'm making you greater than my pastor. I'm making you greater than the prophet. I'm making you the greatest, Lord. As we sing that, would you just yield to Him and let Him know how much greater you want Him to be in your life? Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. I don't know what key Brother Ben started this. And I'm like, Lord, not yet, not yet. We have to sing that after I get through with the message, after you preach to them. So now we're going to sing it. And we're going to sing it like we believe it, Brother Ben, because He's greater. Greater is He. Do you believe that? We all agreed on 2 + 2 = 4. Can we agree that greater is He that's living inside of you right now? Greater is He that's in there right now, trying His best to come out through your hands, through your arms, through your lips. Greater is He. Greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Now Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Oh, many souls have been his prey, fall in some weak hour. But God has promised us today His overcoming power. It's in you. Greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room, baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. is in me, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We're going to sing that again as Brother Ben comes. But I just want you to forget who's in front of you, who's behind you, who's to the side of you, who preached. Forget everything else. And I just want you to thank God for the next few moments. Greater is he that is in me than that sin that I once did. Greater is he that is in me than this trial I'm going through. Greater is he that is in me than diabetes. Greater is he that is in me than cancer. Greater is he that is in me than false doctrine. Greater is he that is in me than Laodicea. Greater is he that is in me than Satan's Eden. He's greater, folks. He's greater. I can't do it. I tried to do it. I couldn't get it right. But in the Pentecostal church, we used to add on to that. And it was, he's greater, 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 greater. He's greater than any man. He's greater than the power of sin. He's greater than the gates of hell. He's greater than any tongue can tell. He's greater, 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 greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. He's greater this morning. I hope you understand it. I hope you understand it. Oh, greater is he that is in me.
Someday, just what I see.
his head. Oh, the blood ran down that scarlet road and stained it crimson red. Oh, his eyes were on the crown.
Had my neighbor call me just before I came to the service, got me all keyed up as my cows had got out, and I was sitting there stressing in his yard and tearing up his flower garden and stuff. And I went there Thursday morning, they're right in the yard again, and you know, they know I feed them, and I'm kind of like, you know, they come running to me and stuff. So I went down there and I had a bucket of feed. They came running towards me and all happy and leading them down the road, and I checked the road out. I knew there's nothing on the way, there's no nothing that we couldn't take care of, and there's an old dog sitting there the porch, and I knew he wouldn't do nothing. My cows are all happy following me along, and I'm almost running. They're right behind me. All of a sudden, that dog started barking, and I knew it wasn't nothing to be worried about it. They looked at that dog and took off running. I tried to catch him. They went running. They had nothing to do with me. I started thinking about it. You know, it's kind of like we are sometimes when God gets us and fills us with the Holy Spirit. We start running down the road. Some little dog starts barking. And God knows He's greater than that dog, amen? And we just got to forget, ignore those barking dogs and just let God have his way, amen? But wouldn't take nothing from our journey, amen? No matter what barking dogs are out there, we'll keep going, amen? Praise the Lord.
Well, I started out traveling for my Lord many years ago. Thank you. could ever take the place of God's love. Oh, all the silver and gold could never buy His love from above. When my soul needs healing and I begin to feel it, His power. Say thank You. Thank You, Lord. Glory now. Thank You, Jesus.
Neighbor, and we had to chase him in. I think, Lord, don't let somebody have to chase me in, Lord. I want to come to You. But we got him in, and praise the Lord. But as we dismiss, let's sing that song again. Come service for tonight.
Well, I know the Master of the wind. I know the Maker of the rain. Oh, He can calm the storm and make the sun to shine again.